Welcome back to Forward Pressing, episode 100, the big 100. I'm Kevin, I got Yanis over here with me. How you doing, bro?
Happy Sunday. Congratulations to 100 episodes. After that.
They didn't think we'd make it here. Everybody doubted us. Nobody was listening. But here we are.
They went with us on a downfall. Now they're up.
They wrote us off. We did it right back.
That's so bad. I butchered that so bad.
Yeah, it's fine. You'll try your best at the episode 150. Next milestone.
The next milestone. That's where it is.
Or two. Yeah. Are you already saying you're gonna mess up 150?
No. I got time to figure it out.
It's a beautiful November 12th Sunday, almost noon for me. We're recording this while the Man City Chelsea game is on. We're expecting a Man City win, right?
Yes.
We're gonna talk about some Prem. We're gonna talk about some.
But Chelsea could surprise.
I mean, I just don't know how consistent they can be, but we'll see. Are we expecting another Doku masterclass?
Actually, I haven't seen the starting lineup. Is he starting?
Yeah, he's starting. I mean, Man was the best player last game.
Yeah, so then, yes, you could expect that again.
But yeah, we're going to talk about some Premier League. We're going to talk about some Champions League. We'll talk about some storylines. And yeah, let's just get right into it. I mean, Prem this week was, I feel like it was interesting because, I mean, listen, United won. It was an interesting game. I just think our injuries are really, like 1-0 to Luton Town, not ideal, but our injuries are just piling up, and it's kind of devastating right now. Like, Eriksen out injured, Hoyland out injured. That was just during the game. That's not even counting all the other injuries we already have. Johnny Evans out until maybe the new year, but like at least December probably. Casemiro still out. Lisandro Martinez out until the new year. Shaw hopefully comes back at the end of this month. Like, I can go on and on. We've seen Maguire have to be starting center back, and honestly, you know how much I hate. I love to hate on Maguire, but he's been, like, decent. He hasn't, like, costed us any games. I think he's played to, like, his full capability. And that's me being nice, you know?
Yeah, I was kind of bracing myself for what you're going to say, but you are right. I do agree with that. He's been performing better recently. I think also, it's not like you guys have a lot of options, so he kind of has to step it up. And it seems like he's kind of playing to the pressure, so.
Maybe he has less pressure now because he's not the captain.
Maybe there's that as well. Captain of United is always comes with a lot of pressure. Maybe he just wasn't ready for it, and also the scrutiny that he get that keeps getting from the fans. No disrespect, but y'all are too much on my man.
The performance is out there, and United fans will make you hear it. That's the thing. Like any top club, Madrid fans literally booed Beckham. United fans will boo Maguire, even though Maguire sucks. You know, Maguire ain't no Beckham. But overall, I just think that we're winning games and we're getting results, even though they're really ugly. So at least that's like the positive. But I just hope that we need to get healthy so that we can really experience the full potential of our squad. I don't know when that's going to be. Hopefully, like when the new year comes, everybody's healthy and we can see how it goes and we can just hang on until then. But Arsenal thoughts. I mean, you guys are kind of getting some. I feel like every game I see you guys get some injuries, and the guys end up playing the next game anyways. Like Saka, I feel like gets injured every game, gets subbed off, and then he just plays like next game.
Yeah, we seem to be a little. I mean, we're missing a lot of players. Don't get me wrong, but we're kind of fortunate that it's not like the majority of the squad, and we're still able to put an 11 that can perform and get results. This week again against Burnley. Obviously, it's not the biggest test, but it's still a test regardless. Leandro Trossard, to me, stood out again. He's been probably one of my favorite players this season, just mainly because of the clutch goals he gets, but also the fact that he comes off the bench, he still can provide some sort of impact. It's very telling. I think it's a very good sign of a good, very good player. I am surprised that he doesn't start more often, though. I think he kind of has earned it.
Well, because I feel like he plays in the same spot as, like, Odegaard, right? And where Odegaard usually plays. And
it's mostly Martinelli.
Now he has to play a striker because Jesus is out and then Ketia was dealing with some injury as well. So I think now he had to start as a striker. But, I mean, usually you got Saka on one side, Martinelli on the other. You got Rice behind them with Jorginho and Odegaard, right? So it's hard to... Who would you put him ahead of there?
I think you're right. It's hard to...
Not Martinelli, not Saka.
Yeah, not Saka. Maybe, I mean, Martinelli's had a solid like performance recently. You could, but like that's really... He wouldn't be starting there, right? Martinelli still has a spot ahead of him. I think because of Jesus and injury, like, I guess, concerns and Nketiah inconsistencies, maybe you could say he could probably consider a spot up front, which he is right now.
But he's not a striker either, though. Like, that's not his natural position.
He's a forward. Like, he can play pretty much across the front line. It doesn't really matter which side. I think he prefers the left more than the right, but he's done well on the right in the past. He's done well on the left. And also centrally. I mean, this is his second game scoring, and he's played centrally for like since the Sevilla game. So, to me, he looks like a very good attacking option for us.
Maybe like a blessing in disguise. Like he ends up having to play striker because nobody else is available, and he ends up proving that maybe he can do a better job than Nketiah and the other options. Like until Jesus comes back.
Yeah, I think he's definitely solidified his position for like the long run.
Like, I definitely start ahead of Nketiah.
Yeah, I do as well. I'd say Nketiah was unlucky against Newcastle just because this wasn't the game for him. He got out-muscled and stuff. But I think overall, like Trossard has showed more at his position than Nketiah. I mean, Nketiah did score a hat trick the week before as well. But I think Trossard just showed me more, and I'm kind of more convinced with him at the moment. So I would start him at front currently, at least until Jesus comes back.
I mean, the two other teams I want to talk about, I want to talk about Spurs and I want to talk about Newcastle. Because Spurs, I mean, they lose to Wolves, but they just got hit with so many injuries this last week specifically. Like, Madison is picked up a serious injury. Van de Ven also. Richarlison, not that he was doing anything crazy, but he's also, like, these are all guys that are probably going to be out until the new year. Romero suspended from last game. Udogi suspended, like it's kind of just like Son and that's it right now. I mean, Bissouma is still there, he's playing well. Kulusevski is always like kind of reliable. But now you're back and our partnership is Ben Davies and Eric Dier. Like
that's not a good partnership, I'm not gonna lie to you.
No.
I'd be a bit worried if I was Spurs fans. I think it's going to be a test for them. See, they've had so many good results since the start of the season, and this is, again, I think the first time they're going to face a bit of adversity. Obviously, the Chelsea game didn't go how they expected it to go, but the Wolves game was a winnable one. The draw was there as well. I think they were kind of unlucky to get to lose at the end. But this is going to be a tough test for them now with all those three key players. I mean, two key players, because Richarlison hasn't done much, but he's still he's still a striker in the team, right? So he can sort of do things once in a while. But Madison and Van de Ven are two big losses.
Oh, wait. Big news. Erling Haaland about to take a penalty for Man City.
All right, should we brace ourselves?
Brace ourselves. No, I'll continue. I just have the game on, so I thought I'd mention it. You think he misses?
No, he's going to score.
He's going to score? Where is he going?
Bottom right.
Bottom right? All right, I'll let you know. But I just, back on...
Actually, bottom left.
All right. Okay. I think he goes bottom left, too. That's my spot. That was always my spot. But, yeah, like Spurs, I feel like, you know, all these top teams usually deal with injuries, and it kind of slows them down at some point during the season. I mean, Man United have been dealing with it since game one. We've seen other Newcastle currently dealing with it as well. He went bottom left, and he scored.
There we go. Called it.
Congrats. But yeah, I mean, Spurs, we were like very encouraged with their performances at the start of the year. They were like one of the surprise breakout teams, right? Like we didn't really expect them to be as competitive as they are, and then now they're getting hit with the injury bug. I'm kind of a little bit scared that they kind of just fall off, because we've seen like teams when they were hot at the beginning of the season, teams like Newcastle, teams like Villa weren't really near the top of the table. And now those teams are creeping up. They've been in form, getting good performances, and now Spurs, I'm kind of worried that they may slow down.
I think they will slow down. I don't know if it'll be... They're fourth right now, and I can expect them to drop a little more than that, probably fifth, maybe not more than that, but the next three games are kind of wild, because I don't know if you look at their schedule. The next game is Villa, after that it's City, and then West Ham, and then Newcastle. Even Nottingham Forest.
It's not easy. They could lose the next. They can lose the next two games easily, and then West Ham won't be easy, and then they'll be underdogs against Newcastle as well. They could lose three of the next four, very easily.
Yeah, it's gonna be a big test to see what the results in this team. If they can somehow get two out of three, it's a good result. I don't expect anything against City, but if you can get a result against Villa and West Ham, it's good. Considering the state of the squad, it wouldn't be a bad result.
Now, what about Newcastle? Because they just lose 2-0 to Bournemouth, which is a big disappointment. And they just lose right before that, they lose 2-0 to Dortmund. I know they have some key injuries as well, most notably Callum Wilson and Alexander Isak. Almiron also left the last game injured. Did you see the clip of Kieran Trippier, like,
I was just going to mention that.
Getting in a screaming match with the fans, because they were kind of like, yeah, they were upset that they lost and the performances weren't great. And Trippier was like, what do you mean? Like, stop like shitting on us. Like, have you seen how many injuries we have? Blah, blah. Now, what are your thoughts on that? First of all, is Trippier doing that?
I think he was in the right to say that, because it was true. I don't really mind it too much. I think the fans can be... It's fine for the fans to be frustrated, but for them to, I guess, react the way they did might not have been the best way. And I think, obviously, the way the game went, he was clearly frustrated. And he kind of... He wasn't the most hurt about it, but, yeah, I do agree with what he said. And, the fact is that it is true. Like, they actually have an injury crisis as well. Like, missing your two strikers and Almiron leaving... It's hard for you to win a game after that, regardless.
It's tough, but like I kind of want to play. I want to play devil's advocate here a little bit, because I kind of
you do that a lot.
Not always, but I kind of also see. I don't completely agree with Trippier here, because a lot of teams have injuries. You don't see them complaining about it all the time, and also I just feel like. Not this isn't his fault at all, but like the hypocrisy of like, you know, if we saw a Bruno make a comment like this, I think the English media would pull him apart, you know. And United are way more injured than Newcastle are. So there's that, but also like the results have not been good enough, and I just feel like the fans are going to be fans. You can't react this way. And lash out at every fan, because there's going to be people upset even when you win. But also, like, to note on the fans, like, you gotta, like, within reason. I mean, fans always want to see their team win, right? But, like, you can't forget, like, this team was in the championship, like, a couple seasons ago, you know? Now they're fighting at the top of the table, and they've definitely got, like, a lot of more investment. Oh, and the Chelsea equalizer! Thiago Silva!
Oh! Thiago Silva, that's a new one.
Yeah, a diving header.
Damn, that's old school.
That is old school, Thiago Silva. But yeah, I mean, are you worried about Newcastle in general, though? Because we've seen them be like extremely strong defensively. That's their specialty, right? But now the fact that they don't have their guys getting them goals to be able to play with the lead, to be able to, you know, have that comfort of, you know, we can score a goal if necessary. I don't know. I just transferred in Anthony Gordon for my FPL team, and he did not deliver this week.
He's not a number nine. I don't know why they didn't put Jones instead.
I mean, that's where he's playing. That's where he's playing now because of Wilson and Isak out.
Yeah, I mean, why not put the Joy Linton there? I mean, that would have made more sense to me.
They're playing Livramento on the wing.
I mean, Livramento at the wing is fine. Like, I'm cool with that. He's a fullback, and he can get forward, and he's nice. I do like him a lot. I think in terms of Newcastle overall, I do feel like they're gonna struggle. I'm looking at the lineup that they have for this game, and like, I mean, the back four is relatively the same, plus Lewis Hall, but overall, I think attacking wise, this is where they're gonna get issues, and I think it might affect them more in the Champions League than it will in the league itself. Just because they still have a lot of Champions League games to play, and I don't think they can recover, or I don't think they can compete with other teams.
Do you think they're gonna suffer with the classic playing too many games, dealing with some injuries, don't have the squad depth, trying to compete in all of the tournaments and not being competitive in any of them?
Well, not being, I don't think they'll be competitive in all of them. I think the fact that obviously.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, you know, when you don't have the squad depth to be able to, you know, like a Man City, have like almost a different 11 every game if you wanted to. If you're trying to compete in Champions League, in the League Cup, in the Premier League at the same time, and you don't have the depth for it, and you already have injuries, like that also causes injuries because players are more fatigued. You know, they're taking knocks more often. They're playing more games. They're playing more minutes. That's kind of what happens. Like, you try to be competitive in all of them, and you end up not being competitive in any of them, and it just hurts you in the long run.
Yeah, I see what you mean. Yeah, I do. That's not a bad point to make, actually. But especially, I mean, to me, I'm focusing most on the Champions League just because that's where they recently played. And I looked at the Dortmund game, and they didn't look convincing at all there as well. So, to be honest with you, I wouldn't be surprised if they eventually get bounced, even though they started first, like, over the first two weeks. But I wouldn't be surprised if they end up, like, going down. I guess not going through the next round. And, yeah, I think even in the Prem, injuries are going to hurt. I mean, they're always going to hurt, but for them especially, the key ones are going to hurt even more. I don't know what the next few games are for them, but if they can get some sort of results here and kind of limit the damages, it'd be good. They got Chelsea next, United, Everton, Spurs, and Fulham.
Those are all hard matchups.
All hard matchups, but some winnable, some less. So can they, I guess, stop the... How much can they stop the bleeding is really the question. It's going to be a challenge to them. They're going to face adversity as well. It's kind of similar to Spurs. They're kind of in the same boat. Injuries, crisis, facing adversity. How do you respond?
Speaking of Champions League, though... who do you think is the favorite right now?
Right now, I think the favorite is Bayern. Bayern Madrid.
It's because they got that new Harry Kane. They got that new Harry Kane love, eh?
Yeah, and for the right reasons too. Like, if Harry Kane actually does make Bayern a better team, it's a different style than Lewandowski, but I think it works better for the players around him, especially Sané. I think Sané is having one of his best seasons at Bayern, probably his best season at Bayern at the moment. And Hurricane has a lot to play into that. I think Bayern's main issue is also injuries, actually. They lost the league recently. They have a lot of key injuries as well. And that might be a problem in the long run. But I think for now, they are my favorite just because of what I've seen in the Champions League. And they've had difficult games as well. So,
Who would you put as your second?
Madrid is right behind them.
Like your other competitive teams. I think Madrid and Man City.
Yes. Madrid and Man City. Especially Madrid. I mean, Rodrigo and Vinicius are basically... And Bellingham is one of the best trio in the world right now. I mean, they're flawless, really. I don't really see where Madrid's weakness are. I think probably defensively, but I don't... Maybe Carvajal, but even Carvajal's been pretty solid. And I don't think Kepa... I think Kepa's actually been pretty solid as well in goal, so... I don't really see where the weakness is in that team. They don't really have too many injuries. I mean, Bellingham just got hurt recently, but it seems like he's going to recover pretty fine. And overall, like, they're not... I mean, they're being tested, but they're not tested to the full extent of, like, what Madrid can go. So, I think they're fine for the moment. They're still one of my favorites as well. I think City, they're going to be the favorite regardless.
I mean, if we just want to touch on it, really quickly, all the groups after four games kind of feel like they're already settled, except the group of death, which is what we expected. Dortmund, PSG, Milan, Newcastle, all within 3 points. Who do you, after seeing four games, who do you think is going to be going through in this group?
I think it's going to be... I think PSG for sure. I'm pretty convinced on PSG. I think the Milan game was... Milan had to show up, so they were the pressure was on them. But PSG will recover. I think they'll be fine. The second spot is, to me, is between Milan and Dortmund, and I'm not exactly sure. I think Milan's...
Which they play each other next game.
They play each other next game, which is probably the biggest game in this group so far. Milan's kind of resurgence to the winning ways in the Champions League is a good thing. I think it kind of is a bit late, though. We'll have to see what they do against Dortmund because they need that win. If they don't win that game, it's basically over.
I don't see Newcastle coming out of this. And I think it's going to be, like you said, PSG. And then whoever wins that Dortmund versus Milan game, I feel like that team will end up winning.
Yeah, I'm leaning towards Milan.
Dortmund can play for a draw. Dortmund can play for a draw. A draw helps them more, but...
And to be fair, Dortmund has played pretty well as well, coming towards the end there, so...
I feel like they've surprised us the most. Like, I feel like we were all, like, down on them the most. If I'm not mistaken, we might have even predicted them to finish last in the group. I'm not sure.
I think you might be right on that one, actually.
But yeah, the other group that's kind of like still up in the air pretty much is Group A, where United are in last place, but you know, it's Bayern at the top and then nobody else really like settled in the spot. But like United have been, we're going to talk about this, but I feel like we've just been dogged by the refs so many times, by VAR and by just decisions. And it's kind of becoming very annoying and overwhelming because it just feels out of our control. Exactly, frustrating.
I mean, it is out of your control, really, because what can you really do?
Like, the Rashford red card was not a red card, in my opinion. That was a harsh red card. They said the VAR reviewed it, and the check was complete, no card, and then suddenly they're doing it again, and then it's a red card direct. So I just thought that was very, very suspicious. And mind you, we're up 2-0 at that point. And then red card. And then they get two quick goals before halftime. It's 2-2. We end up getting a penalty, 3-2. And then we just concede at the end of the game. And that's it. You know, it just kind of feels like we got dogged by the refs again. And I've seen so many similar calls that... first of all, not carded, and that look way worse. And it feels like every week there's like three or four calls that are not even yellow sometimes that don't get red carded, and we get something not as bad, and it's a red card. So I don't know. It's very frustrating.
I can understand you when it comes to the Rashford one on against Copenhagen. I think it's hard that it's a direct red. I think it's a foul for sure, but it's not a direct red. I think it's definitely a yellow first. There's been a lot of recent calls, like even in the Chelsea. I mean, Chelsea game was kind of right. The Chelsea Spurs game, the couple of VAR decisions, were fine. I think the Arsenal Newcastle game, I was today with some controversy there. There's been a lot of questionable games where you could say the VAR has played a part in a negative way, and I don't really know how to fix that, to be honest with you. I don't think getting rid of VAR is the solution. I think VAR has its place in the game. I just don't know if it can be implemented better.
There just needs to be better. Better, yeah, it just needs to be better. I don't understand when you have, like a rewind camera to go look at these things and then consistently making, like, questionable decisions is very, like, peculiar to me. Like, the fact that, you know, we're taking the time to pause the game and going and looking at these situations and we're still getting decisions wrong is mind-blowing. Like, that should not... There should be, like, zero margin for error. So, I don't know. Something needs to happen there. Because it's not normal that we're getting, like, huge controversial decisions every game. In the Prem, in the Champions League, like, it's happening on a regular basis, and it's very questionable.
Well, allow me to be devil's advocate as well for once. Just change the pace for me. I think every team, though, can say that. And doesn't that, in a way, kind of nullifies the... Because I've seen a lot of teams like play victim every week after a call, but then if you look, it pretty much it doesn't really like affect a team more than another. Every team,
yes, it does. We've seen like somebody tallied up the VAR decisions and Man United got screwed out of like I think 4.5 decisions, or 4.5 like points or something like that, on VAR calls, and the second closest was like 2 something. Like we've not I don't want to be like the main victim here, but like we've seen teams like mostly get impacted negatively with VAR, and I don't know. It's like a fair playing field, but because you can't really decide who is going to be the one on the week to get, you know, the questionable call. But I wouldn't say that it's even for everybody, you know.
Yeah, that's fair, but I also don't think that there's like a personal vendetta against like United here.
No, I don't think so either. But the fact that it just all these questionable calls or multiple of them have happened against us is like unlucky, first of all. But it also kind of like begs the question, like, well, we look at like that Rashford red, you know, like if that red doesn't happen, we win that game, we're second in the Champions League, and Copenhagen's probably eliminated, probably in last place with 1 point, you know. So that just changes like so many things.
Yeah, because the stakes are so high, especially for Champions League games, that you don't want to make too many mistakes, or at least make it.
I mean, Arsenal literally like a couple games ago, like. There was a goal on a ball that was out of bounds, and they reviewed it, and they didn't say anything. And there was also a foul on the play, and they didn't say anything. You know, like, it's unacceptable that they're missing so many things.
Yeah, that one was, I mean, that one went wild on social media.
The ball was literally out of bounds. We could see it on the cameras, and they're VAR reviewing it and not even catching it. How? I don't know.
I don't want to take too much time on that one, but there was couple angles that kind of show the ball in play. Some were showing the ball out of play, so I guess it depends on what angles you were looking for. But I think there's still a possibility of having a foul on Joel Linton, and also I think Gordon was onside, but the foul on Joel Linton was the one where I'm like, okay, you kind of have to call that one. If anything, the fact that they didn't call it kind of, I mean, it is VAR. It didn't really surprise me. I wasn't too mad about it, but I can see why people kind of reacted the way they did. But yeah, I mean, you're right. There's got to be some more consistency in the VAR plays, and almost every league, really, because, I mean, especially like in the Prem, because that's where we focus the most on. But also the fact that they played the video against the Liverpool Spurs game. Remember, they played a video of what happened during the VAR check, and it wasn't a good look for them. So it's definitely gonna have to be something that they're gonna have to talk about, and kind of rectify, because if it affects games to the point where, like, it affects games, and like there's some play, the stakes are too high for them to like keep it the way it is right now. Like, if it can affect some points from like it can make a difference between you making a Champions League or not, then it's like, yeah, you gotta do something about that.
Let's talk about a couple more things. I mean, you mentioned this here. I kind of disagree with you on this one, but like, you want to mention why Lautaro Martinez is never in the top striker conversation? Because he's not a good striker, in my opinion. Not anymore, anyways. He had like one or two seasons where he was like maybe in that conversation. But man just misses so many chances. Like, you cannot be a top striker when your finishing is that bad. That's just my take.
Then my only point is like, who's ahead? There's not that many ahead of him. Like,
what do you mean there's not that many ahead of him?
I'm not even trying to be funny here. I'm being like serious as hell. Like, I looked at his stats.
Okay, let me just go through the Prem. Okay, Haaland. Okay, do you count Son as a striker? I mean, he's been playing striker.
I mean, yes, he's playing striker this season, but like overall, to me, he's a forward. But sure, if you want to put him in.
Okay. Ollie Watkins better than Lautaro.
Ollie Watkins never played in the Champions League.
All right, listen, what do you want me to tell you? He might play in there next season.
You can't just go. You might. I mean, sure, if he does, we'll see. But you can't just play go with Prem strikers. You got to go all around. I wouldn't put Ollie Watkins ahead of.
No, I'm just saying, let me start with the Prem. Harry Kane.
Okay. But Harry Kane is in the Bundesliga, but yeah.
I know. I'm just saying. You just told me not to talk about one of the Prem, and I said I was.
All right. You're right.
You know, like, who else? Let me think. Lewandowski, right now.
Lewandowski's not having a good. He's not having a good season right now.
I know, but still, who else? Can you help me out?
I'm trying to, but there's like, I'm telling you, like,
Mbappe is a striker.
And Bobby's a forward.
I know, but still, kind of like a striker.
He's like, he gotta play number nine every time. Otherwise, to me, you're not a striker. Like, you can't.
Like Osimhen.
Okay, Osimhen. Yeah, that's what. What is that? You're at four. I think Lukaku's having a good season, but I wouldn't put Lukaku ahead of him.
No, I wouldn't put. I don't know. They both kind of like are not great in my opinion. He's just having a good season. Like, yeah, I see he's having a great year, but he's also playing in the Serie A.
So what is that? But then what does that mean?
No, I know. That was just me being me.
Like, there's not that many strikers that have the consistency of goals that he has. Like, I'm looking at his season, first few seasons here.
He just misses so many chances that I can't consider him one of the best strikers.
That's the thing. If you score 20 goals but you miss 16, are you a good striker?
He's basically like Darwin Nunez. He's like Darwin Nunez.
No, he's not Darwin Nunez. He's Edinson Cavani.
I mean, Nunez misses so many chances too. He's awful. I mean, he's not awful. Listen, like he.
Yeah, but Nunez doesn't have a goal. To me, he's more so like Cavani because Cavani used to miss a lot of chances because he would also score a lot of goals.
Because he just had so many chances.
But yeah, but it kind of balances out. And like, if you scored 20 goals but you missed like 12 chances, like, are you a bad striker or are you like, you still score 20 goals? You could have had 32.
Yes, you're a bad striker. Because if you give most other players the same opportunities, they're scoring more.
You don't. Well, I mean, Haaland? Like, who?
I mean, most strikers. Good example, like Ollie Watkins, you said he doesn't play Champions League pro. If you put him in the Serie A instead of Lautaro, I feel like he's scoring more goals.
I don't think so. I love, and you know, I love Ollie Watkins. I love Ollie Watkins, but I don't think.
Oh, that's a stretch.
I think that's a stretch to say that.
Man scores like for fun too.
Yes, but he needs to be fed. Like you need to feed the guy. Lautaro can kind of create his.
I mean, any striker needs to be fed.
Yeah, I agree, but some strikers can kind of create their own opportunities. Like Kane is capable of scoring his own goals, like kind of create his own opportunities. Lewandowski can do that. Although I think Lautaro can sometimes. He's not as consistent as Kane is, but I'd say he can. You know who's also not in that conversation that you forgot? Griezmann.
Yeah. Just Griezmann's a little older now, so.
And his role is kind of different, but still, my point is still like there aren't that many strikers that are as good as him, and I'm surprised that he's never been mentioned in the top five, even like top eight conversation.
Well, because now this year we're having a year where, you know, it's still early in the year. Yes, he has a lot of goals, but there's a lot of players that are not performing at the highest level right now, and I feel like come near the end of the year, he wouldn't be in that conversation.
Okay, you talk about this year. Talk about last year. Like they went to the final in the Champions League, sure, but he had 21 goals. 21 goals is not is above average.
Did he even start in the Champions League the final last year?
Yeah, he did. Lukaku didn't, but he did.
Oh, okay. Then he came off for Lukaku, no?
No, I guess I think he came off at some point. I don't think Dzeko came off of Lukaku.
You're right.
But my point is, I guess that you could say, oh, out of those 21 goals, how many are PKs? I can't tell you that. My point is,
he does for who? For Lautaro?
No, for Lautaro, yes. Like he also takes the PKs.
I mean, I don't think he has that many PKs this year. I think he might only have like one or two.
My only problem with him is that he misses too many chances. But overall, I think to me, he's got to be in the conversation. One of the best. I don't want to say top three, but he's got to be top five.
I think when you say. Striker, you're kind of like doing a disservice because we see like a lot of forwards scoring goals. If we're talking about forwards, like man's not like top 15.
Yeah, okay, yeah, because he, I mean, no, he's top 10 if you include forwards.
If you include forwards, nah.
Okay, if you include, okay, thing is, I think we gotta define. We'll have to. Well, I don't know if we have time to do this today, but in the future we'll have to define what do we consider a forward versus a striker and kind of like who the number nine position like. Kind of define who's who, and then we can probably kind of
forward. I would consider like playing like a high winger kind of vibe.
Forward would be considered not just a winger.
Like, would you consider? I think a good example would be: do you consider Saka a forward?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Do you think Saka's better than Lautaro Martinez?
They're not playing the same position, though.
I know. That's what I'm saying. That's why we're saying when it comes to forward.
I think they're as...
Saka's not supposed to be finishing all the goals.
Yes, I think they're equally as productive, but I think there's not that many wingers that are better than Saka. I think there's probably less wingers better than Saka than there are strikers better than Lautaro, if that makes any sense.
Less wingers better than Saka, less forwards better than Saka, and then strikers better than Lautaro. Yeah, I think there's more strikers that are better than Lautaro than there are wingers that are better than Saka.
Yeah, I can give you that.
But like Haaland, Salah, Son. No, he's a forward.
He's a forward, yes. Like you just said, Haaland is a striker, Salah is a forward.
But Salah and Saka play the same position.
No. I mean, what did I say? I said Saka. I meant.
No. What do you mean?
Hold on. Okay. Haaland is number 9. Like, he's a striker. He doesn't play anywhere. Right? We agree on that.
Yes.
The guys like Salah, the guys like Saka, the guys like Mbappe, the guys like Son. Yes. Maybe they could play number 9 if they wanted to, but they usually play out wide. Is that fair to say?
Yes. Yeah, that's fair.
So that's where I kind of differentiate. If you're forward to me, if you can play across the whole front line, you don't have like a set position. You're not a number 9.
I mean, Saka could play up there.
Who'd?
Saka could play up there
as a 9.
Could he doesn't, but he could.
I mean, I've never seen it, but I'm sure he could. But then. If he's never done it, you can't judge him off of something he's never done, right?
Yeah, fair. Okay. Anyways, we spent a lot of time on that, but listen, I'll give him his flowers for right now, Lautaro. But I just don't think he's a. I just don't think you can consider like a guy top 5 when he misses too many chances. That's my take.
I'm gonna make a poll about this. I'm gonna see what the people say.
Do it. Do it.
We'll see. We'll get back to it next week.
All right, let's touch on Diego Simeone real quick.
Another contract. This man's never...
Yep. I was kind of surprised with this one, to be honest. How many years?
You were surprised. I lost count. I think it's more than 10 by now.
No, but how many years is the extension?
Oh, I think it's... I want to say 3? I can't remember, actually. It's got to be a long-term one. It's mostly 5 years. You know he's the most expensive coach in the world.
That's wild.
A new deal is until 2027, so 4 years.
That's wild.
I mean, Atletico is doing well. They're doing well in the league and in the Champions League. They weren't as bad as they were last year when they were, I guess, mid-table for a while, and then they recovered. So I guess he did a great job there. I just didn't think that they would... like, kind of want to stick with him again. Like, I feel like the Diego Simeone experience has already been passed. I think they want him to deliver the Champions League to them, and I don't think it's going to happen. He's a great coach, don't get me wrong. I would love to see him somewhere else, though. Like, at one point, I would love to see him in Serie A. I think he would fit Serie A very well.
I agree.
But, like, I don't know what else he has to do. I mean, if Atletico was to give you the contract, you're going to take it, obviously. But, like, I don't really see what else he can offer to Atletico that he doesn't already... like that he's already done. We know he has his way of playing that may not be the most, I guess, entertaining, but the results do come. But like, I just don't know. I don't know what to tell you on this one. Like, I mean, I was surprised to hear that, but like, it's not the. I mean, it's gonna be the same thing. Nothing's gonna really change for Atletico, really. Like they're gonna compete in La Liga. They're not gonna be in. They're gonna compete in the Champions League, but they're not gonna win it. Maybe they win La Liga, but that's even if you gotta hope that Barca and Madrid.
That's tough too.
You gotta hope that Barca and Madrid drop, which is possible, but to the extent where Atletico can survive, and you gotta think about Sociedad and stuff like that as well. So I don't know. It's an interesting decision on their part, and. Hopefully it works out. I hope that he does mean something.
I think it's just when you consider the alternatives. When you consider the alternatives, they may not be as good. I think just what they need more than anything is not Simeone out. Is I feel like it's just a different ideology now. I feel like it's run its course there, and he's probably taking them as high as they're gonna get. It won't reach those highs either way. Like they were in Champions League finals. Like I don't think they're getting there for a while under him anymore. But I feel like kind of want a new. I think you want a new era. But signing into an extension, I feel like just kind of like continues what where they are now.
Yeah, I mean, it is the same players too. Like, I think like the Champions League finals, most of the players that are with the uploaded those two finals are still there.
Yeah, they're just much older now. They're not the same guys anymore.
But yeah, hopefully, good luck to him. I guess if I mean the most expensive, I did not expect him to be the most expensive like coach in the world, but he is, and that's a flex.
All right, wrap it up. Last thing we want to mention: the NSWL final.
NWSL.
That's what I said. Oh no, you wrote NSWL, so that's what I said.
I literally wrote, oh okay, because I have it written as NWSL. My fault. That's me. My bad. I got get it right, Yannis.
You wrote it wrong. I just read what you wrote.
Yeah. So the final was OL Reign, which is kind of like an OL based club in the States. They're in Seattle. And then Gotham SC is Gotham SC is from New Jersey, New York. Kind of the mix of both. I don't know if you heard about. You probably haven't heard of them, but yeah, they're here now. They were.
I feel like I've seen their jersey or something because it's Gotham and people like it.
Gotham SC. Yeah. It's a very popular jersey actually. That was the final NWSL final. Megan Rapinoe gets injured 3 minutes in the game. Sad, unfortunate. Probably her last game. She's most likely retiring. I think she's 41 right now.
She's 41?
She's 41, yeah.
Oh my god.
Yeah, she was 40 at the World Cup, if I remember correctly.
I did not expect her to be that old. I thought she was like early 30s.
Nah. She was early 30s in like 20... The last World Cup. The one in France.
Yeah, the last World Cup, yeah. Dang.
Yeah, it's been a minute for her. It's been a minute for her. Unfortunately, we're to go out, but hey, she still had a great career regardless. But they didn't win. Like Gotham FC did win. 2-1. That there's a goal that I actually retweeted from Lynn Williams. That assist from Mitch Purse, she's a winger. She goes through three players, deeks the whole defense basically, and gives a tap in. It's a must see. I suggest you go see it if you get a chance.
I'm pretty sure I saw it.
Yeah, I think I mentioned I quit it. I wasn't familiar with her game because that was actually
yeah. I saw your tweet.
Yeah, and I think she also had the assist on the corner on the second goal. I can't remember who scored that second goal, but I'm pretty sure she assisted that. So she was one. She was a woman of the game. I guess that's what they call it. I'm not sure, but she
woman of the match.
Woman of the match. Yeah, she was MVP for that game. Gotham FC wins it, and that's the wrap of the NWSL final for this year. Some good players out there.
That's also the wrap up. Yeah, good players. That's also the wrap up for episode 100 in the books. You feel different? One more little clap.
I feel 100. I feel 100.
I feel 100. All right. That's gonna be it for us.
That sounds so bad.
You need to work on your game.
Yes, from going forward, it can only go up from here.
Yeah. Yeah, because you can't go any lower. But that's going to be it. If you're here, you made it this far, we really appreciate it. Thanks for sticking with us. And if you're not here, we look forward to you being here in the future. And yeah, make sure you drop us a follow on our socials, @forwardpresspod, @forward_pressing on Instagram, on everything. And we'll see you later. Peace.